those that you would like to read along. I've chosen and would like to read out of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Rather lengthy chapter, but I would like to read all of it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I have persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man is in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when they shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son of also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And else what shall we say which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand ye in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. And after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. What advantage is it to me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, another of fish, of beasts, another of fish, another of flesh, and of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in honor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man, Adam, of the earth, earthy, and the second man of the Lord from heaven. As is earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have bore the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must have put on immortality. So when this corruption hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, where is death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Instructed in this morning hour, and as we read out of the book of Matthew, the account of what took place for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we were exhorted to believe what we read, to believe and to understand what the scriptures teach us about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so here we find in this book of Corinthians also that the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church was reaffirming, if you will, this doctrine of Jesus Christ and this doctrine of resurrection. And as he points out here that there were many that saw his resurrection after he came, after he arose the third day. And I believe that's important for him and for us as well, that we realize that it wasn't just the 12, it wasn't just a handful of people, it wasn't just, as we heard this morning, many of the ladies that came to the sepulcher and found him gone. But it says here that over 500 brethren at once saw him. which then would confirm this even all the more for anyone that might be skeptical or really have slight doubts or wonder or guess that this took place, maybe have a little trouble believing it all. And so he confirms it, especially in this church of Corinth, where there were those that were skeptical. They had doubts, and the Apostle Paul had his hands full when he went there on his missionary journey to teach these people so that they would grasp an understanding the meaning of the doctrine of Jesus Christ and of him dying on the cross and rising again the third day. And so he confirms it here by telling them who all saw him. As he mentions, the above 500 brethren of the greater part, he says, which remain even to this present. And after that, he was seen of James, and then of the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time. And we know the story how when he was on his road to Damascus to destroy the believers, how God stopped him, and the light shone, Christ shone this bright light, and he was blinded, and we know the story how that goes. And that's when he came face to face with Christ, and that's why he can say then that I had in due time saw Christ himself. Because he was obviously not around much when all this took place. But he wanted to confirm the fact that he was an eyewitness of Christ because Christ arose and was alive and well. And so he had to confirm this again unto all of them. And so, and then he acknowledges the fact that by the grace of God, he said that he is what he is. He felt unqualified, if you will, to even bring this kind of a message because of what he did to the church, persecute those that believed in Jesus Christ and believed in this resurrection and so forth. And he went about killing and putting them in prison and now feeling ashamed of himself, saying here that I was not even worthy. But he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And so he goes on to proclaim this gospel message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so then, as we can see here, he had the problem of some of them not believing this. Now, the scriptures don't say this, but I have reason to believe only because of the Sadducees that did not believe in resurrection might have had somewhat of an influence here. And because they had this influence on them, they never believed in the resurrection. They never believed in resurrection of the dead. And so there may have been some influence there that some of them believers that was in Corinth may have doubted and didn't believe that there was a resurrection of the dead. Now, I believe he was talking to the church here. He wasn't just talking in general. He was talking to the believers that was of the church of Corinth. And there were those that evidently were in doubt, maybe questioning, wondering. And so he had to say to them, if Christ then was not risen, as he says here, we preach Christ that he rose from the dead, and now say, how say some among you, there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. Well, what have we got? If you don't believe it, then it's all wiped out. It's no good. It doesn't mean a thing. It evidently, that didn't even mean that he died on the cross and shed his blood, if he didn't raise again. And so the doctrine of it all has to be completed. You can't just take, he died on the cross and shed his blood for my sins and stop there. That's not the end of it. That was only the beginning, if you will. And then when he arose the third day, it completes all of the scriptures of what was ever taught about him, even in the Old Testament, and all the times that he told his disciples what's going to happen. We read about that a couple times this morning, how they knew about it and didn't really believe it, didn't accept it, or didn't understand it, whatever the case might have been. But then when it actually happened, now they saw him, and he was, and we read in John that he appeared to them 40 days after he arose to confirm that this is a sound doctrine, that he is alive, and that he is a risen Lord and Savior. And that's what he came for, that he could be our Lord and our Savior, our personal Savior. And so then there was some here doubted this, but there's no wretched. So then he says, well, then your faith is vain. But he goes on and he doesn't stop there. He says, yea, and ye were found false witnesses of God, because ye have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom raised he raised not, if so, that dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So you see, it's like, okay, you don't believe this? Your faith is wasted. It's no good. It doesn't amount to a thing. So you see, there's the importance of this, as we heard this morning, of the doctrine of resurrection, that we believe in that as well, as that he died on the cross and shed his blood for our sins. And so, as he goes on to say, that, as he says, for if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And the scriptures confirm this. The Apostle Paul also wrote to the Romans in chapter 8. We can read that where he says in the 34th verse, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So you see, part of this doctrine of resurrection, we have to also believe and want to believe that he came, and part of the reason that he came is because he came as an intercessor for us. He intercedes for us. He's sitting at the right hand of Heavenly Father, and we can read that in several places in the Scripture where it talks about he was ascended to the right hand of God. And that there, his responsibility now is to intercede for you and for me. Why do we need an intercessor? Or do we need an intercessor? Why can't we just go to God and bypass Jesus Christ? Well, you see, then that also would be a false doctrine. If we want to sidestep Christ, we don't want to accept that as an intercessor, as an advocate for us. Again, it's like your faith is in vain. So you see, God has laid out this plan so that we would understand, because Christ lived on this earth, walked as we did, was tempted as we would, and that we might understand what God would be able to understand, because we can look at God, and if you think about it, God the Almighty, he's so much higher and superior than any of us. It's like, how could he relate to us? He made us. He made everything in the world. He's way above our heads. And so we say, well, wait a minute. We have Jesus Christ as our advocate. We have him as our intercessor. He intercedes for us. And when we fail, when we come to learn of Christ, and we stumble along life's way, he pleads for us. He knows what we went through. And he it's not that God doesn't know this. It's just that we know that he knows, because he's interceding for us as God's intercessor. And so, thanks be to God that we have him. Thanks be to God that he rose that third day. And thanks be to God that this plan of salvation included his resurrection, so that you and I could grasp and understand the meaning of what it means to be a child of God, to go through trials and tribulations, even as he did, and yet he can go to the Heavenly Father and intercede for us. You see, there's, if you look in the scriptures, there's many places in the scriptures where there were individuals that interceded for someone else. And why is that necessary? It's only just to kind of confirm it, if you will. Confirm things that what took place, what our life is about, what he experienced in his life. And so he can intercede. You know, if you and I go through something in life and we experience it, and now someone else comes along and they experience it, they have a better and a deeper understanding because you went through it. It helps them to understand because you already went through it. That's an intercessor. You intercede for that. And so this is what Christ does for us. He's been through this. He's been here, as we say, been there, did that. And thanks be to God. This is the plan of salvation. This is the doctrine that we're to believe. This is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so he had to convey this as he talked through there, and he gave them this hope. It increases their faith. It increases their hope that of having a personal Savior like Jesus Christ that intercedes for us. And so we go on to understand here, as he said that, but some men say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? So, and that's a legitimate question. We know that Christ rose. Some of them may have never saw him, exactly what he looked like when he rose. But he had to show them. If you remember doubting Thomas, he didn't want to believe until Christ showed him, look at my side. You can see where I'm pierced. Look at my hands. You can see where I was nailed. And that's when doubting Thomas said, my God, my Lord. And he believed because he saw it. And then he said, Christ said, blessed are those that believe that have never saw. And so this is where we find that, because some of them, as it says here, what kind of a body did they have? What kind? And so he goes on to explain some of the things that different kinds of bodies. And he goes through a whole list of things here of the different kinds of bodies that there are. But he uses the metaphor of planting a seed. He says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. So you, and this is a way of life. If you have a seed and you want it to grow and be something, you have to put it in the ground. And when you put it in the ground, it has to die. And once it dies, then it resurrects and begins to grow. And now there's more comes from that seed. And this is what he's referring to here. And when you put in a ear of corn or a kernel of corn, if you will, you put it in the ground, you don't get wheat, you don't get oats, you don't get hay, you get corn. And this is what he's saying here. This is what happens when the body, and then he's referring to us. That's the way we are. We die, we're buried, we're going to rise again, and we're going to be just as we are. Now, the only difference is going to be we're going to be whole. And that might be a little bit hard to understand. Thanks be to God. There are those that we have one brother, that Brother Sam, in a wheelchair. He's not going to be in a wheelchair when he's resurrected. He's going to be made whole. And that's why he goes down here to say that we're going to be changed. We're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's very quickly. When Christ, the trumpet sounds, Christ comes again, we that are alive are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Changed to what? We're going to put, as he says here, for this corruption must put off incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, and mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, what is that is written, death is swallowed up into victory. So you see, we're going to be changed. What is the corruption and then the incorruption? When we're in this human body, we're in the corruption. He says here in verse 50, "Now this I say, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." So you see, because we're in the blood and flesh, because we're in this corruption, if you will, because we have been born into this world and we get the same sin that Adam had, because we're in the flesh, that's going to be changed. That's going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Those that are already dead, they're going to rise already changed. We that are alive, that are left behind, we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling, because this corruption must put on incorruption, mortality, which we are. We're mortal beings. We're going to put on immortality. We're going to be like Christ. We're going to be like celestial beings. We're not going to be like we are now. We might have the same features. We don't know exactly what we're going to look like. And the scripture doesn't make that very clear. It doesn't tell us exactly what we're going to look like. I have reason to believe that we're going to look like we are. Otherwise, when Christ was transfigured, if you remember the story there, when he was on the mountain, and the three that was with him, there was Moses and Elias that was with him. How did they know that was Moses and Elias? You see, they were not changed. They was in this spiritual body, in this spiritual being, just like he was transfigured, and he was illuminated, and they saw this. And this is why then we got reason to believe we're going to look like we do now. We're going to be recognizable, but we're going to be in a different state. We're not going to have flesh and blood, but we are going to be recognizable. But that's why he says here, this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality. And so you see, we're going to be changed, and that's why he says in here then, that passage is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" So you see, and there are some people that think that, oh, well, you know, when I die, it's all over. That's it. No more. I got news for you. That's only the beginning. It's not the end. It's the end of this corruption. It's the end of this mortality, end of our mortal life. But that's only the beginning of life. And it's either going to be life in heaven or it's going to be life in hell. And that all determines on the choices that you and I, on the face of this earth, when we serve the Lord, the choices that we make. Are we going to serve Him? Are we going to believe this doctrine? Are we going to believe in the resurrection? Or are we going to have doubts, fears, wandering? What the body's going to look like, all of these things that the Corinthians were doing here, and the Apostle Paul tried to get them to understand. This is why we have this chapter. This is why you and I can understand what the Scripture's talking about and what we can expect when the Lord comes back again. We, his children, are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to be like Him and to be with Him through all eternity. So we don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about the grave. The victory is ours. He says here, "And the sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And I believe that's the key verse here. Thanks be to God that we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That simply means that you and I, living on this earth, believe in the total doctrine of Jesus Christ. Starting with His birth, which was unnatural. It was by the Holy Spirit. His going through this life and walking on the face of this earth, teaching the people all the doctrine that He taught, and then all the things that He predicted is going to happen to Him. All of this we believe. This is all part of our doctrine. And He died on the cross. He shed His blood for our sins. And then He rose the third day. This is all the doctrine. Thanks be to God which has given us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the doctrine we was talked about this morning that we must believe. We must believe it. We can have one shadow of doubt in any way or any of it. Whether we don't understand it, whether we're not sure what kind of body we're going to be, whether we're going to go, how it's going to turn out, don't worry about it. Just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him. And that's why he says then, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So you see, he encourages them there. Don't give up. Don't get doubts. Don't wander. Don't worry. All of the things that comes with this life, it's unnecessary. Always, as he says there, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So let us be encouraged with what we have heard today. Let us be encouraged of the faith that we need to believe and to trust that he, yes, did rise. He is our intercessor. He is our advocate. He is at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And he's going to come back. Also, a part of the faith and belief that we got. We must believe that he is coming back. We haven't talked about much yet about that today. But rest assured and believe that he is coming back. And when he comes, there's going to be big changes. The point being, as the Lord says oft times, watch and pray. In other words, be ready. Because we don't know the hour and we don't know the day. But we know to be watchful and ready that it could come any given time. May God bless these words upon our hearts.